I never understood these words we sang. Even as a Christian, this is the air I breathe. Your presence living in me. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. I thought I just would go to church and learn how to act and go to heaven. That was my idea of being a Christian. But what I found out is that God is a relational God. He's a father. He's a friend. He's a brother. And he desires fellowship with us. That's actually why he created Adam and Eve. It says he walked with them in the garden. And their whole life revolved around God in the beginning. And their life was perfect and everything was good. There was no curse on the earth. Nothing died. There was no sickness. There was no heartache. It was perfect because God is perfect. There's nothing wrong with him. He is perfect. He's holy. There's not even anything we can compare him with. His holiness, his beauty, his character, his love, it's beyond our comprehension. We get a little glimpse of it in Jesus dying on a cross for us. How much he loves us. How much he desires for us to be reconciled with him and to know him. Because that's what we lost. We gave it up in the garden. We said, I want to be the center. I want to be my own God. I want to do what I want to do. And the devil convinced man that he could be like God. But the problem was God created man and man could not exist without God. In other words, if man was separated from God, it would be like cutting a branch off a tree and trying to make that branch live without the sap that the tree would give it, with the roots and the nourishment that give it life. Man somehow in his pride thought, I can live without God. I don't need to be attached with God. And that day we died. And it says because of Adam's sin, that death spread to all of us. Every person that's ever been born on the earth after that time is born dead in sin, separated from God. But God, even when we rejected him, was already coming up with a plan. When he says in Genesis 3, his heel will be bruised, but you'll crush his head. And it was a picture of Jesus being bruised for us, but crushing the head of the enemy, defeating the enemy, what he meant for harm. And it's a picture of the cross and God coming in the flesh, making a way for us to be reconciled so that we can once again walk with him in the garden and know him and have fellowship with him and understand why we were even created. I know for me, when that light burst forth inside of my heart, I finally understood why, first of all, I was so miserable in life, why I had no hope, because without this understanding that I was made for God and that his life could live inside of me and that I had purpose and I could know where I'm going, without that, there was no purpose to my life. I was miserable. I was hopeless. But God made a way, and God somehow got that light into my heart. And when that happened, I needed somebody that knew him a little better than me to come and say, okay, now that you understand this, I'm going to come alongside of you and we're going to walk together for a little while. And I'm just going to help you and lead you into a deeper, more intimate relationship with this Jesus, with God, so you can know him as Father, so you can know you're his child and what that actually means, so you can understand better your purpose in life, so you can learn how to hear from God and how to actually communicate with him, how to have fellowship with him, so that you can learn what your calling is in this life and why God made you and why you're here and what his purpose is. I'm just going to come alongside of you and just help you with that. I needed people like that in my life that knew him better than me to point me to Jesus. That's what discipleship is all about. That's what hardly happens in our churches anymore. That's why we can go to church on Sunday and the rest of the week not understand what it means to actually walk with God on a daily, moment by moment basis, and to understand the hope of my calling and what my purpose is in life, and that God is with me all the time. You know, I'm always talking to God because he lives in me. So no matter what I'm going to, no matter what's going on during the day, he's there. He's with me. And he talks to me. I hear his voice inside of me. The Holy Spirit brings the word of God to my mind and my thoughts. And God actually speaks to me throughout the day, just like someone in the flesh that I'm walking alongside with. That's what God wants with us. That's what it means to be a Christian. Actually, John 17 tells us salvation is to know him. Not to go to church on Sunday. Salvation is to know God, to walk with him in fellowship. That's why discipleship is so important. That's what Jesus did with his disciples. He had the crowds. He had his 12. And then he even had times when he would go alone with different ones and disciple. We see it in Paul's life with Timothy and different ones. He had the crowds, but then he had his intimates and different ones. He would come alongside and help in their walks with God. That's what we want to do here. That's what we want to teach you in this body. How to, first of all, be a disciple, a learner of Christ, but also make disciples. So that's what we're going to be doing. And, hon, can you hand me one of those? I have a fellow board member on IABC, and he came up with this study. I asked him if it was okay to make copies of them. So I had these printed. I had them bound. And if you want to do this, I want to give whoever wants a copy of this tonight. I know the young people are going to be going through this, so you'll all get one. You got no choice. You just get one. But whoever else wants to do it, take it if you're going to do it. Okay? And later on when we split up and the older ones are here, we're going to assign different ones to walk through it with ones. And these guys are going to walk through it with you guys. And what we're going to do each Wednesday is we're going to have a little teaching on whatever the subject was. And then you guys will have your own discussion, and then you'll have a little bit of homework to do at home. So I just want to give a little introduction tonight of why this is important, okay? So in the beginning, hon, you want to hand those out to whoever wants them so we could all look at them? Just put your hand up if you need one, and they'll make sure you get one. There's a couple that already have one. We're going to be, it's the second page where it says the ABCs of change. I'm just going to share a little bit here on this topic of the ABCs of change. So when we talk about a relationship with God, how do you develop a relationship? Anybody tell me how you do that? How do you do that? You spend time with them, right? You talk, you find out, you learn about them, but you spend time with them, right? Okay, well, if we're going to have a relationship with God, you think it's the same? Okay, so the ABCs of change are A, to pray continuously. In other words, we need a prayer life. Okay, how can you know God and receive help from him if you don't learn how to ask him and you don't learn what it means to pray and make your petitions made known to him? We have many scriptures that show us why we can do that. Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16 says, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast our confession, for we don't have a high priest that doesn't sympathize with us, with our weaknesses. And it's kind of what I was sharing earlier. Jesus came in the flesh, okay? He was God in the flesh so that he can identify with us. He faced all the temptations, all the things we deal with. And so we have a high priest that understands what we go through, and he actually sympathizes with our weakness. And it says that he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And here's the invitation. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So we have access to the throne room of heaven. That's pretty awesome. How many of us take advantage of that on a daily basis? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about, just imagine you had access to President Trump right now. Anytime you wanted to go to the White House and go into the Oval Office, you could go in there and ask him for things, and he would give it to you. Would you take advantage of that? Probably. Well, that's nothing. You have access to God, who created the little speck of Donald Trump. He spoke the worlds into existence. His word upholds the stars and the moon and all the planets turning. His power generates all that. He has storehouses, riches that are untold, unimaginable, resources. And any time we need help for whatever, he says, come, just ask me. I understand what you're going through. I understand what you need better than you do. Come, you're welcome at my throne. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says we're to pray without ceasing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says we're to cast all our care upon him. Man, isn't that awesome? I can take all my cares and pour my heart out to God in prayer, and he takes them. And I know there's many of us here that have experienced times like that where you just feel like you're overwhelmed, I can't deal with this, and you get along with God, and you just bear your heart to him, and somehow he takes it. And you find the comfort of God in the midst of a trial or just something that you feel like you can't handle. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. He cares for you. So pray continuously. B, read the Bible every day. You have access to God himself because the Bible is the written word of God. It's inspired. You know what that means? God breathed. Even though you have all these different people that penned it, it was the Holy Spirit through them that inspired them. And the whole Bible is consistent, and it all ties together over centuries of it being written. How can that happen if God wasn't directing men to write exactly what he wanted them to write? That's what that means. It's God breathed. And there's no errors in the Word of God. And it has everything in it that we need. So we're told in Scripture, Deuteronomy 17, 18, and 19 says, it shall be, and it's talking about a king, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he will write for himself a copy of this law in the book, the word of God, from the one before the priests and the Levites, and it will be with him, and he will read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words that are in it. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you'll meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. Who here wants to be prosperous? Who here wants to be blessed? Okay, well, if you read the word of God and you do it, everything you do will prosper. It's a promise. And you'll have good success. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What does that mean, all things? All things, thank you. Right. Everything you need for life and godliness. It's all in the word of God. He's given, you got to get in there every day. It's all in there for you. Okay, then lastly, you need fellowship with God's people. The right kind of fellowship. Fellowship that's going to point you to God. Fellowship that's going to encourage you in your walk with God. Fellowship that's going to challenge you in your walk with God. That's what discipleship's all about. Sharpening one another. A couple of scriptures to look at. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love, good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's why we do this. But you understand, this is a very small part of your Christianity, or it should be. This is just a time for us to come in a building, worship God, look at the word together, encourage one another, but really our works out there. All during the week is really where we should be living out our Christianity. This is not about having a relationship with God. This will help you in that, but your relationship comes during the week as you're seeking him, praying in your word, you're about his business, you're talking about him with people, you're sharing him with people. That's where you learn of him. That's where you enter the yoke with Jesus and you go through life with him. So we're here to encourage one another to do that, to stir up love, good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. In other words, encouraging one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord. It's coming. The world is spiraling out of control, but the Bible talks about that. And it's just a sign that God's getting close. And we need to understand that this isn't our home anyway. So we're to encourage one another as we see that day approach, that day when we'll see God. Ephesians chapter 4 shows us how God works in the body. Verse 11 says, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. Discipleship. The equipping of the saints. What? For the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. That's not God's desire for you, to be controlled by emotions, by the things of life, tossed to, that's what that's a picture of. You know, anything comes in my life and whoa, I'm knocked off my feet. No, God promises to be an anchor. God promises to put you on a solid foundation that even though storms come, like we had this morning, your house stands. It's not blown over every time something comes into your life. It stands. And we help one another do that. No longer children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And that really is a picture of getting in the Word of God, encouraging one another in the truth of God so that we're not deceived. There's a lot of false truth out there in the church. Things that are not right, things that are not taught right. And so many are led astray because they don't know their Bibles. So we need to sharpen ourselves, encourage one another in the Word of God so that we're not deceived by the doctrine of trickery and trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking truth to one another in love. Why? So we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ Jesus, from whom the whole body is jointed and knitted together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see how a real church should operate? Everybody working together as one, and God anointing different ones with different gifts so that the whole body could be edified. And as we do that, we're encouraging one another. We're all growing up together in the faith. We're like plants, you know, planted in a garden, you know, and we're watering, we're weeding together, and we're nourishing, and the plants are growing and they're getting healthy. That's how we help one another. Just like that. There's a lot of descriptions like that in the scriptures. And then 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, each one has received a gift and should minister it to one another as good stewards. In other words, God gives everyone gifts, and we're actually supposed to be a steward, like someone that's given money is responsible on how they use that and that they use it wisely. And God gives all of us gifts and talents and different things, and he expects us to use it to be good stewards with what he gives us. And it's for the benefit of helping one another. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friend. See, we should be sharpening one another. You sharpen things like that. And that's what it's like. Because sometimes there's some friction, right, between us. But that's how you grow. And you sharpen one another. And then lastly, Romans 15:14. Paul speaking to the church. And I guess I could say this to you tonight. I'm confident concerning you, brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. I'm believing that we're going to grow in that. We're going to mature in that. And so that no one comes in these doors is missed. No one comes in these doors isn't encouraged, isn't challenged, isn't sharpened by someone, because all of you are going to be growing up and maturing in your gifts. And you're going to be aware that, you know what, it's not just about me and what I'm going through. It's about me encouraging someone else, getting involved in their need. Discipleship. Discipleship. So this study, it's a very simple study. I don't think I'm throwing a lot of work on you guys. There's some of you that need the basic doctrines of Scripture. You need to know them. And this book is just going to take us through all the basic doctrines of Scripture. And listen, all that means really is different aspects of how God works, different characteristics of God and what they mean, like God the Father. What does that mean to me? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the church. What is the church? I mean, what does the Bible say about the church? And you'll see there's a whole list in there, the gospel, the future. How do I change? You know, what does it mean to cut things out of my life? How do I know for sure that I'm saved? How do I make decisions in life? How do I communicate? How do I deal with anger? How do I deal with conflict resolution? How do I deal with suffering when it comes in my life? What about the gray issues? How do I deal with that with Scripture? We're going to look at all this stuff. And all of us should have a basic understanding of that so that you can grow in the knowledge of Christ and learn what it means to walk with Him and have a relationship with Him. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually start this next week. I know the young people are going to talk about this tonight, and you guys are going to be breaking off. Are you all going downstairs initially? Okay, so you're going to go through that door on the left there. But next week, make sure you bring your books with you, okay? And we're going to start on the Bible, and I'm going to just give a little teaching on the Bible, and you guys will work through the worksheet together, and then you'll do the homework on your own. It's not much. It's one page for the whole week. So this isn't hard, but if you put your heart in it, God's going to bless you. And I know He's going to bless the group time. And then you're going to be assigned somebody that's going to work with you all week. That's going to keep you accountable. How you doing? Did you do your homework? What'd God show you? Challenge one another. Okay, so Samantha's going to be doing that with the girls. And the guys are going to be assigned, some guys, and I'm personally working with some young guys. And then when the young people split off, we'll talk about the rest of us old folks, and pair us up. I'm getting there. All right, so let's just pray, and we're going to go ahead and split up. Lord, we thank You so much for tonight, and Lord, I do pray You'll bless the young people as they split off from us, Lord. I pray You'll lead the group leaders, God. Just guide them with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and bless our time as we continue to pray and to seek You, Lord, and again, Lord, encourage one another in You, God. So we thank You and just ask You to bless the rest of this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.